Brother. Yes. I thought Yes. Sorry. So, thank you again for everything you have done. It's not easy. And I have found that PTSD is worse at those who are outside of Ukraine because they don't hear explosions and they think that explosion is happening the whole day long. So that's interesting that what I have researched and found. But thank you, Faroe Islands, for helping my people from my church to comprehend their conditions better. Like, I know that some of them been even through the mental treatment and so on. So you can imagine how big the tragedy that even people in Faroe Islands, they have to go to doctors so that they deal with their emotions and so on. I'm not saying that everybody should stay during the war in Ukraine, but I know I have to. Even though that I can leave and flee, I have 3 children under 18, so I can easily go there and back. But I know that Lord Jesus called me to be in Ukraine. And some of you have seen video that was sent, so you probably have a little understanding what we have done so far. And we continue to do, and we continue to provide hope homes for people whose houses were totally ruined. The last story I want to tell you before I show the PowerPoint. About 4 weeks ago, a missile from Russia Federation was directed to my village. And at 4:30 in the morning, there was a huge air alert signal, you know, crazy, very loud. So it's basically made to wake you up. And at that very moment, I felt like the whole family needs to come down to the first floor and hide. And I screamed to all of them, everybody down now, don't sleep, get up, Misha, David, Gloria, get up, jump, quickly down. And while we were running down, there was a huge anti-missile explosion in a Russian missile. It was a high-speed Russian missile. And we started to pray immediately, Lord, please protect people. Lord, protect people. That's all what we've been continue to pray. Lord, protect people. And about less than a kilometer from my house, this half of missile has hit the street of my village. And 6 houses were destroyed. About 8:30 in the morning, because we heard that there was a fire, firefighters coming and an ambulance coming, so it was a lot of signals around. So we figure out that this is in our village. Then we look on the news, and it says our village. They've been showing all these destroyed houses. And I'm like, look, guys, this is our village. This is our village. We have to figure out where is that. So we figure out where was this place. And then we figure out that it was like 750 meters from our house. And when I came there, I asked one question. Has anyone died? And they told me no one died. No one died. And I'll tell you what happened. A little cat that Lord has sent jumped on the owner's bed and moved owner. And when a missile explosion happened, a little piece of missile gets in the cat and kills cat, but man is alive. That's how God wants us to pray for things that we need to pray. He knows. There is no other people in this world except Church of Jesus Christ that has responsibility to pray. That's why I'm saying that Lord gave us authority to pray and He wants our prayers. He listens. He is waiting. Your grandpas and grandmas that have passed, their voices are not on this earth anymore. And your not born children are not heard now. It's only you who's still alive and your prayers are important. And it doesn't matter how old are you, it doesn't matter what status you have, if you're rich or poor, if you're Faroese or Danish or Ukrainian or Russian or whoever. Lord wants prayers of His church, and we are alive and we're supposed to pray. This is our time to pray. We are the ones who can stop the war. Just say amen. I'm from Ukraine. We usually hear it back. Okay, let me try again. Your prayers are important. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, this is very Ukrainian now. Because when I was in Faroe Islands and I tried to say something and everybody was like... And then Rachel told me, were you expecting that they will react on your prayer? I said, at least somehow. So if you just want me to keep speaking, just say amen. If you don't want me to keep speaking, just look at me and I will stop. Because it seems like you're not interested in listening to me. So I just want to encourage you to grow in awareness of high quality before the Lord of every word you say when you pray. Every word is important. Every word is important when you pray. When you pray for Ukraine, even if you say two words, Jesus, Ukraine, it's important. If you say, Lord, bless Faroe Islands. We've been praying yesterday for good weather in Faroe Islands. I didn't want to leave. It was the first day I saw sun. I was like, I don't want to leave. This is so cool. It's like New Zealand here. And my friend Nurlan said, you know what? If every day was like this, it'd probably be this Faroe Islands would be overloaded with people. So praise God, it's not that good every day. But my last joke, and then we go to presentation. You know why I think people in Faroe Islands are more happy than any other? You ready to hear? You look younger than any other nation I've seen. No, I really mean it. You are lacking sun, and that makes your skin younger. It's so funny. I came to Faroe Islands. I look at the people age 85. And I'm like, how old are you? And she's 85. I'm like, oh. Man, you can't get married again. 85? You look so beautiful. And then the handsome man, 85. I'm like, okay, that would be probably 70 in Ukraine. It's just because the amount of sun nations get, it's really not about vitamin D. It's about the skin being older. So you should be happy you're from Faroe Islands. Because every time I come, people complain about their weather. I'm like, guys, you look young. People spend so much money, creams and everything. And you have it everywhere. You look young. Just think about that. Sell it in the world. You will be the richest Faroe Islands in the world. Can we start my presentation? Oh man, now we should go to the war in Ukraine. Oh, okay. Well, I tell you why I can comprehend the difficult conditions in Ukraine. Because I love humor. Sense of humor gives you to walk through the difficult times with a smile. And if you look at Jesus, He tells disciples, I give you my joy. And the period of history in Israel when He gives joy is a difficult time. Jesus gives joy in a difficult time. Otherwise, you have to be happy. When it's not difficult, you're supposed to be happy. But when it's difficult, you need His joy. He gives you joy. So if you see me smiling, it's not because I'm crazy. It's because I know who is Jesus. So these pictures are all mine. So I was driving to place after we've been feeding people, and then Russian missile hit a Ukrainian oil company. And then this is after the Russian occupying our territories. And the second slide. This is Irpenian Bucha. You probably have heard about those, right? Bucha, have you heard about Bucha? Where they killed a lot of people, civilians. This is material 18 plus. You all 18 plus? Okay. So you can see this building is special because two people in my church are connected to this building. One, she has lost her husband. She's 25. She lost her husband that she lived only for 2 years. Her apartment and a car. And another person from my church that used to own a restaurant here. And it was destroyed as well. So this is a very special building for me. Let's go forward. So that's how you can see the houses after the Russians. Russian boots. This is for the shooting. This is a Russian food package. And when they were sending missiles, so you see a building without almost 3 floors. So the missile hit the floor where people were sleeping, so they killed people there. That's when they said that they were not attacking civilians. They basically were. That was the first day of the war. And you go forward. So the interesting thing about relationship with God, that He is telling you something of before it happens. My boys, Misha and David, if you've seen them or not, because they stayed at this house once, they came to me about 2 months before the war started, and they said, "Dad, we saw a dream." Misha came and he said, "I saw a dream, the war was starting." And then David came and he said, "The war was starting, I saw a dream as well." And I'm like, "Why, my boys?" I said, "Did you play too much Control Strike or something? You were preaching something here about the computer and so on. I think they need to hear you. Can you translate that to Ukrainian and send it to them?" And basically they were prepared by God so that they are not scared when the time comes. And God prepares people for time that they need to be in. And so my boys came to me, and then the 21st of February, the war started on 24th, and 21st of February, I feel to start calling people in the church, telling them, "You have to flee." I called our financial council, and I said, "We need to divide church money to different locations in Kyiv, because we live in Kyiv, and all our people live in Kyiv, and we need to let people know where the money, in case if they need to flee and pay 3 times more taxi ride, or whatever they need to pay, or they need to pay soldiers, or they need whatever they need to do, they have to take money and pay so that they're released from the conditions they shall not be." And I told all my church that you need to be in my house. When you hear that the war is coming, you all need to be in my house. And the reason why I was saying that, because Russia is on the northeast and I live west-south. So I was telling them that, "Come to my house and then we will figure out how to drive you to Poland, to Romania, to other countries so that we can save you from the conditions of the war." And you know what? The funny thing is, that's about pastors. Please remember that. I was telling my people in the church, "Fill your tank in the car. Prepare the documents and everything." And the war starts and my tank is empty. That's about pastors, you know. Sometimes they say, "Read Bible, everybody," and they don't read Bible. No, I didn't say that. No. Forget about that. They say, "Fill the tank," and the tank is empty, you know. So while all of people were coming to my house, I was actually going to gas station to fill up my tank. And they were given only 5 liters for one car. Only 5 liters to one car. And the lines were like 5-10 kilometers. Cars were standing in the line. I was wise. The only one time I was wise. I woke up at 4 in the morning and I ran to gas station. Because at 4:30 it was 10 kilometers line. I was like the first or the second car. And I said, "Sergei, you teach your people to obey, you know, pastors and to listen to what God says. And why you didn't listen?" So I had some conversation with myself. But good thing was that the 21st of February, we bought a lot of food because that's what we felt we need to do. And when the war started, we started to bring food to these people who were hiding in metro stations. So we started to feed, at the beginning, we started to feed people at one metro station. And this is actually Nastya, the tuna. That's her. That's before I sent her to Faroe Islands. She was helping me here. So we've been feeding people, and then the next one. So we started, and here's Anna, you know. Here's Anna, she's helping too. So, and people were sleeping in how you call those things? In wagons? Is that, you call it wagon? Sleeping cart? I don't know how you call it. It's something like train, part of the train. So they were sleeping there. They were sleeping on the floor. At the beginning, we started to bring food, and we were wise, and thank God for computers and for little addiction to Facebook. So we wrote on Facebook. No, don't say word addiction, okay? We just say hallelujah, because that's what we did. We wrote on Facebook that there are so many people hiding underground and they need food. And at that very moment, praise God for churches all over the world, they started to help us to buy food. And we were able to cover 10 stations. At one station, we had 500, 600 people hiding, with children, with old people, with disability, people with disabilities. It's just a lot. I mean, it was a lot to work. And one day, we figure out that they need sleeping bags and mats. I remember one man, he came to a metro station and he brought door. So he took a door from the hinges and he put it on the floor and he was sleeping on that door. Because that was the only way how he could cut the cold from... So we brought him mat and he was sleeping on a mat with the sleeping bag still on his door. It's a special door, you know. So let's go forward. It's a soft door, orthopedic door. So they had to flood villages. So the Russian tanks were not able to come to Kyiv. And you can imagine people in Ukraine was all flooded. It's just crazy. All food, everything was flooded. So you can see that the water level was this high. And that's my wife. Okay, next. So we started to do food packages, and we continue to do food packages. And just yesterday, we have delivered 200 food packages to those people that we have provided a hope home. And then next. Yes, so you can see all of these people receiving food packages. That's advertising to how we can do the work of God, and you can help us to do that. Next one. So sleeping bags. This is Bucha. Bucha is where... When Russians came to Bucha, they did horrible stuff, horrible. When I came to Bucha first time, even though that I'm a very sanguinic in my brain, I'm laughing, I'm smiling, I love to make jokes, but at that day when I came to Bucha, I saw so many dead bodies that I could not talk for hours. I was not able to talk. I was just bang. And when I came back home, and my wife asked me, "What did you see?" And I'm like, and they really understood that they need to pray for me, because it was so, so difficult. At that moment, Australian radio called me because they saw that I wrote that I'm going to Butch, and then they wrote me back. So they started to kind of help me to understand what's going on with me, because I gave them a whole interview and I was crying on the radio. And if you want to hear that, just get on my Facebook and you will find it. There is like one of the first interviews I gave, it was about Butch. You will hear me crying. I can cry, and I can cry really deep. So this, when we came, 300 people, when they saw that we brought food, they ran to us and they started to say, "We are so hungry, can you help us? We need food." One grandma we found, and she was so skinny, and we started to give her food, and I asked her just very politely, "Tell me, how did you survive?" And she said, my neighbor had a chicken. So we ate one egg a day. One egg a day. Ooh. There was one man when we came to Irpin and Bucha, and when we brought this food, he ran out and he asked us a question. "Can you give me food and have Russians left? Have Russians left?" He said, "I did not eat for 3 days, so we've been just giving him food." And he was hungry, eating whatever the bread was or whatever that was. That's how bad it was. The people were... We're just surviving. There was another story that touched me so, so much that I have to tell it in the honor of the man, in the honor of that man, just to remember his risk and courage. He had a sugar diabetes, and they were both in late 70s. So when Russians came and all the stores were destroyed, there was nowhere that they could buy food, nothing was left, the house was destroyed, and the only food they had, it was a couple apples and bananas and something else. And he quit eating just to save his wife. And he died. I could not believe it. When I heard that story, I started to cry. I couldn't. And she said, yes, my husband sacrificed himself that I can live. I was crying, trying to understand how can I help, and I could not help. That's the stories of that. There is something that Jesus says, there is no other love that you can reveal on this earth if you can lay your life for your friend. And that's one of the things I've heard. I was really shocked. I was shocked, and I was just standing there. I was just looking at this woman, and she was telling us with the tears that story. Her house was ruined. Cars were destroyed. Everything was ruined. And this is the story. So we brought her tiny home. And of course she will live, because her husband died so that she can live. It's very much like Jesus did. Let's go forward. So then you can see how this is Mashun. We have started second church here. We started the first church in Hostomel, and this is our second village. About 85% of houses ruined. Go forward. When we met this lady, I thought that she is 75 years old. My wife paid attention to this lady, and you know, it seems like women are more open to hear women's needs, and men are more attracted to solve problems and tasks. So I was running around to figure out how we can help people with rebuilding. But my wife stood with this lady and she talked to her. And then she figured out that this lady has found her son right behind that yellow bus. She found her son headless, and she recognized him because of the clothes. Russians killed him. And her house is ruined. Her son died. This is a summer kitchen, also ruined. And my wife comes to me and she says, Sergei, you have to help Sveta first. Sveta and Svetlana is the same name in Ukraine. And I said, how? And she said, she has lost her son. She found him yesterday. She's always crying. We have to help her first. And I'm looking at my wife and I'm saying, sure. You know, that's my biggest problem in my life. I always say yes. I say yes to my wife, and many times it's fine. But when it goes beyond, like when expenses are going even more than I can afford, and I say yes, that's a problem, right, Isaiah? So, guys, you have to be wise what you say yes to. So, yeah. But my wife said, you should help her first. And I looked at Vika and I said, I don't know. I will try to do my best. And I say, yes, I will say yes. And in Russian, at that moment I was speaking Russian, in Russian, word yes has only two letters. So it's much, much easier to say da than нет, because нет has three letters. It's the long word. And men choose to do sure things. So I said, yes. And I did the same to God. I said, yes, can you use me? Yes. If I was English speaking, probably at that moment I would say it's three letters, and then there's two letters and no. And many men say no to God, but he says, whom I shall send? And sometimes we say, when he asks, whom I shall send? And we say, yes, but send him. Here I am, but send him. Now at that moment, Jesus probably didn't want me to say that, because I would do that in a peaceful time. And I said, yes, send me. So we started to rebuild her house. And I think we were so passionate to help her because of the things. And then you can show the next picture. That's her house. We fixed it. We spent $5,000 and 3 weeks working every day to help her. And then she comes and she says, I want to commit suicide. Can you imagine me not being a builder, trying to fundraise money for this lady, trying to even talk to everybody I know. And she comes and she says, I want to commit suicide. I am angry at her. I look at her and I say, Sveta, I understand all the reasons why you want to commit suicide. But I have a line of grandmas who are asking me to help them. And I don't have money. If you want to commit suicide, give me $5,000 and do whatever you want with your life. She looks at me and she says, I don't have money. I said, don't have money? Don't talk to me. Go and live your life. And she says, I will. And she lives. And she not just lives. It's the same Sveta. Look at her. Show the previous one. You see her? Crying all the time. Crying. Look, show her again. When she found her son, she experienced stroke. So her hand was paralyzed and her eye, she had some problem with the eye, so she couldn't see. And she was dating with some ugly man. I mean it. Ugly, lazy, bad man. Because he didn't even help us to fix her house. He was always somewhere and there was no jobs. But where he was, I don't know. So when we fixed her eyes, she saw the man and she kicked him out. Amazing gospel we preach. Amazing gospel we preach. It stops sins right there. And she turned to Jesus. She can see now. She's beautiful. And I tell her, Sveta, now you look nice. You have a house. We will marry you. We will marry. She's 53 years old. 53 years old. At the beginning, I thought she's 75. I called her Babushka. I call her Babushka Sveta, you know. And then it turns to be that she's only 10 years older than me. I didn't want her to call me Dedushka. So she's Svetlana. So let's go next one. Then this grandma comes and she, and you've seen a movie about this grandma, so on a video that you have on your website. She tells me, can you drive me to my house? And we take her to her house and she sees her house first time. And she starts to cry like a child. She touches walls and she says, Mommy, look what they did to our house. And she cries. At that very moment, across the street, my team and me, we were working on Sveta's house. And then I'm with this Babushka Zhenya, Grandma Zhenya, Babushka Zhenya. And I'm telling my boys, guys, we have to find a way out. We can't just look at her emotions and let it kill us. We need to find what the solution is for her. At that very moment, I told them, please work. I'm going to find a solution. We went to a factory that makes modular homes. And we put a huge advertisement on Facebook. Please help us with a modular home. And we were, and I'm not afraid to say that, we were the first faith-based, and not only faith-based, organization in Ukraine that placed first modular home to those people whose houses were destroyed. We were first. So that was our first home. And then this grandma comes, and she's so beautiful. She looks like my mom. And she tells me, can you look at my house? And I said, sure. So we come to her, and she says, can you put a tiny home for me too? And we don't have money. I thought that we already rich, that we have Babushka Zhenya, $4,500 for a tiny home. And then this Babushka Lida comes. And of course, again, there is like this, da. Sometimes Jesus needs those da, you know, yes. He needs those yes. And I said, yes. And then we put on Facebook, bang, and we put a second house. Then Babushka Shura comes. Can you show Babushka Shura? That's Babushka Lida we put. And then Babushka Shura comes. Look at her. Alexandra. Alexandra, Shura, Sasha, it's the same name in Ukraine, right? Right. Yes. So she comes and she smiles. And she says, ha-ha, you helped those two. Now time to help me. And you know, and you again say, da. And then God brings Norwegian guys. Can you show those Norwegian guys next slide? No, they're next. That's her too. So she, wait, can you bring back? So she put the lipstick when we brought her a tiny home. You see how beautiful she is? I said, this is not a restaurant, okay? But she looks really great. You know, just show her before. You see, huh? No lipstick? Huh? Next one? Lipstick. She was like ready, like she's going for a date. And then we started to fix a roof for Grandma Leonid, and then another one. And then these two Norwegian guys come. Two Vikings. It seems like they're always very optimistic. They come, ha-ha, Sergei, we found you on Facebook, how can we help? I said, okay, guys, there is Babushka Shura, there is another Babushka, there is another Babushka, there is another Babushka. He looks at his credit card. Let's do it. I'm like, oh my God, thank you for angels from Norway. So he bought four houses, and then he bought bricks, and then he covered. So that's the family that he brought bricks, and then Babushka Shura, Alexandra, she has received the house, and there was Babushka Olya who received the house, and many other grandmas who received the house. And next slide. And then we bought bricks for these guys so that they were able to repair. This man already passed, so that's the same man. He was captivated by Russians, and they were hitting his forehead with AK-47. So he actually fixed his house, and probably a week later he died. That's his wife and children, yeah, stayed alone. Okay, next one. And then Andreevka comes. That's a village, Andreevka, and it was attacked very much. This is where we have the biggest amount of tiny homes from Faroe Islands. So the Faroe Islands church has been helping us to put, I think we placed 37 homes from Faroe Islands. Oh, actually, I should tell you how many homes we have placed. We have placed yesterday 293rd. Oof! I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I feel excited. I feel excited about that. That shows the body of Christ working together. United States, Great Britain, Faroe Islands, Germany, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Romania, and all these countries all over the world. Even Arab Emirates. Even they send money. That's how many people God has to unite all together to help Ukraine. Praise Jesus, praise Jesus. But I tell you, that's not enough. There is such a huge need that I don't know how many homes it's needed. Probably 10,000? I don't know how many needed, but we continue to support people when they tell us that they need a tiny home. The next one. So I'm praying for this family. We started a church in Hostomo, so we have all these people coming to church. The next. This is it. Basically, just... So you saw a video, probably you saw the in the video you saw that we built the church in Hostomel, right? Have you seen the video? Yeah. So we built the church in Hostomel. And what happened? When we placed 100 homes, we felt like it's time to start a church for these people. And all of these grandmas, they started to come. Man, I was always youth pastor. I know how to work with youth, okay? I can make youth go into the right direction. But grandmas, they're even better. They're way cooler. They much faster, I mean, sometimes. But they say amen way more optimistic than you guys do, okay? They are so cool, I tell you. And when they hug and kiss, oh my God, you feel... They come like Brezhnev. I don't know if you've seen those pictures, but they really kiss you hard. Like, mwah. I'm shaved now, but usually in Ukraine, I keep protection here. But I tell you, one grandma came to me. She's this high, and we had this training on PTSD, how to work. And she comes and she says, Sergei, I lost my house. I lost my husband. I lost everything I owned. And she starts to cry. And she says, it feels like I have received more than I have lost. I found Jesus and I found church. That's the payment that I was most expecting from everything we do. That Jesus is found by these people. And it's amazing because all of them are coming now to church. And when we built the church, we knew that Russians were attacking our electric companies. And we knew that all these tiny homes, when it's minus 27, of course you can't survive in a tiny home when there is no electricity. There is no heat then. And when we were building a church, I felt that it's time to ask people to help us to build a special heating system that will not be dependent on electricity. And we built a wooden stove that provides heat for the whole building. And we built a heating floor. And Faroe Islands, Oasan Church helped us with the tiles on the floor. And it looks so cool, like better than even Oasan Church in Faroe Islands, okay? We tried, you know. We want to be cool. But the whole idea was that we placed about 35 mattresses on the side of the church. And we told all of these grandmas and grandpas, there is a key, this person is responsible. If there is no electricity and you feel like it's going to be cold, you go to church. Church will be 24/7 open for you. And we will continue heating the floor. So you come in the church, you grab a mattress, there is a toilet, there is a shower, there is a food, and you sleep here, and you will survive, and we will take care of you. I don't know, is there any other way to show love as deep as this? And of course, they want to know Jesus that cares for them. Because we all want to run from Jesus who is always direct, what's right, what's wrong, boom, boom, boom. You don't want to be with Jesus who is always... You want to be with Jesus that loves you. And that's what Jesus is. He loves us. He loves us. And Bible says there is no other way how people will recognize that you are my disciples, but only when you have love between one another. And that's something that I want to leave on the table when I go to sit down on my floor, or on my chair. Love is something that Jesus has given to church. We are the only organization or body in the whole world that been commanded to love as He has loved us. And I want to pray about that. Jesus, I want to thank you for Faroe Islands, for people here. Lord, I have found them so loving, so generous, so open to help. It's an amazing nation, amazing culture, amazing people. And you have reserved them and kept them and protected them. And I pray that you would continue to bless them, that their families will be strong, that children will be raised in your word. You will continue to bless this nation as they are taking so much care of Ukrainians. Lord Jesus, look how much they help. And I pray that you would bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Amen. If you ever feel to help to this project, you can talk to Ayler's wife, Rachel. And there is some... I know that Lifton and Oasan and Emmanuel in Torsham, I think I pronounced that well, right? So they are collecting money to buy those tiny homes, continue to buy those tiny homes and help those people. So if you feel that Lord is calling you to do that, more than welcome. Let's say amen. Thank you. If that was Ukraine, people would cry.